Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we're going to talk to you about a big event that we have planned that is very, very soon. It's a poker tournament. That's right, baby. So you may be thinking, oh, what do I win, a washer, a dryer? Is it one of those deals where I go and I win, oh, I get a prize package? No, 25 G's. How about that? That's right. With the Bicycle Club people in my friend's place. And I'll tell you all about it as the program continues. Also this evening, we will be joined on our program. We're going to have a couple of guests scheduled. Bob Green will be joining us from Fraser Foods on grocery stores. Are they turning into sex stores? Do they sell? Are people using the items sold in grocery stores as sexual aids? We'll talk with Mr. Green about that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're going to start the show off, though, with we've been working on this one for a while. Tonight we're going to have Mark Tolan on. Mr. Tolan was traveling with a group of correspondents. He's a newsman with the McGraw Services out of New York, and he joins us from New York City tonight. Mr. McGraw was kidnapped in Iraq in early December of last year by a group of terrorists who aligned themselves with Al-Qaeda called Al-Ansar Islam, and he joins us. And how does the evening find you, Mr. Tolan? You all right?
I'm very good. It's been a very busy day, but I'm doing very well, and I'm very happy to be home.
How long have you been home? How long have you been back in the States?
Phil, about 2 weeks.
Tell me what happened. You were over there, obviously, as a newsman, covering the Iraq war for your news service, and you were with two other people?
Phil, I was with Elaine Truman, and Elaine works for Copley, and I was also with Jim Fisher, who is a line reporter with a television station in Washington, D.C., WTOP. And we were traveling by car on our way to an outskirt, a suburb of Baghdad called Ghosbadah, when we were abducted. The car was stopped at an intersection. We had a driver, an Iraqi driver who works for the news services. We have a pool of drivers in Iraq that often ferries the reporters around. And as we came to an intersection in a business district, it's a thoroughfare that connects the business district of Baghdad with the suburbs. Three men, one of the men opened the driver's door. There were three men in total. Forced our driver out of the car. One of them got in behind the wheel, and the other two got in the back seat with myself and Elaine, who is, all of us are very frightened, but we immediately were worried about her. She was subsequently released about 200 yards away.
Now, my understanding is they drove the car 200 yards. These men who commandeered it, they let her go.
Yes, they let her go, and Jim and I were then let out of the car. And, of course, I would be lying to you, Phil, if I didn't tell you that I felt that perhaps I'd breathe my last. I didn't know what they were about to do.
I can imagine. You felt you knew what was about to happen? They were going to kill you?
Well, I didn't know why we were being driven such a short distance and then told to get out of the car. She was released, but what happened was they blindfolded us instead. We were then put back into the car. And, of course, from that point forward, we had no idea. We had no way of knowing where we were going, but we did travel, I'd say, for a good 40 minutes. And
did you know at that point when you were blindfolded that you were being abducted?
I knew that we were being abducted, most probably for political reasons. But understand, Phil, that no one in Iraq kidnaps without wanting money. Kidnapping is the oldest and maybe the surest way of making money. And when people kidnap for political reasons, I think you have to insert the word money in there, because that's generally why they do that.
All right, so you drove it for 40 minutes. Then what?
Approximately 40 minutes, Phil, and then they led us out of the car. We were the blindfolds were taken off. We were led into a compound, and I realized then we were in some kind of a residential compound, a typically walled compound that you see in the Middle East. There were probably two or three residences, one upstairs, two downstairs. I felt we were in some kind of a business district. I could hear motor traffic and a fairly bustling street outside. And for the next 3 months, began an I'm never going to forget. I went to Iraq without any illusions. I went to Iraq because I wanted to expose what I felt was an illegal war and to expose the American people to the truth of what is happening in that war. And I...
Do you feel you came away with the truth?
I felt that we did, yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you before we... And I'll give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686. The Stockholm Syndrome, okay, is when a captive becomes sympathetic with the captor. Were you mindful of that as a hostage?
I tried to keep my objectivity because I knew that certainly people are prone to that. And that's why I was concentrating on keeping my objectivity about this. But the experience itself would not have led anyone to be sympathetic with the captor. It was a nightmare from which we've just awakened, and I thank God that I'm safe and Jim is all right. And I want to thank the Syrian Foreign Ministry as well as the Yemeni Foreign Ministry for interceding on our behalf.
Did the United States assist in any way in releasing you, getting you released?
The United States, as far as I knew, did not lift one finger.
Even though you're an American citizen and you were abducted in Iraq?
Even though I'm an American citizen abducted in Iraq, the United States government did nothing. And for 4 months, they did nothing.
You described to us earlier some pretty harsh treatment.
Yes.
And times when you felt that you breathed your last, times when you felt that for sure they're going to take you out and shoot you. Can you tell us a little bit? First of all, these guys were all Ansar Islam, and they're aligned with Al-Qaeda, so they mean business, don't they?
This is a group of people who are about as cutthroat as it gets. But one thing that you need to keep in mind, they are ruthless and they are relentless, but they are politically motivated. And not unlike a revolutionary cadre who is intent on doing everything that he can to turn the fortunes of his country. But we lived with these people. They had no regard whatsoever for us. We were not allowed to shower or shave but two or three times a week. When we were fed, it was a mixture of some kind of Iraqi stew, which my or Middle Eastern stew, which I'm led to believe contains goat meat, horse meat, nothing certainly that you would serve in your own home. Every night at 10 o'clock, they told us to turn the lights out, regardless of what we were doing, whether I was working, whether Jim was bathing. They would turn the lights out, and this continued for 4 months. And every day, of course, you're wondering, is my government there for me? Are they going to help me?
Did you tell me something about how they forced you to drink? What was it that you were drinking?
It was, we had asked them if they had any kind of cold beverage. Of course, we know that they're Muslim, and we asked them if they had a beer. And they looked at us in the way that you look at some, almost like a mouse you're taunting, and they said, we've got beer. And they fed us, gave us these bottles of an Iraqi beer. I don't think you've ever tasted anything as bad, as putrid. I think it might even have been defouled in some way. And for 10 days as well, we were told that we would have to walk to the market and to the bazaar because the van that they were using to transport us had lost a distributor cap. And so for 10 days, we're walking. It must have been a mile both ways to go and get magazines. And I was mindful of the experiences of Terry Anderson when he was tortured. And my mind drifted to him quite often.
Were you debriefed at all by the American government?
We spoke to individuals with the Defense Intelligence Agency as well as members of the FBI. But understand, Phil, I'm not in a position to help the U.S. government in their occupation of Iraq. And I also want you to be, and your listeners to know, that I'm not here to create a bad impression of the so-called terrorists. They did what they had to do because they love their, I believe they love their country, and they want to get us out of there. As bad as our situation was, as hellish as it was at times, and as close to death as we came, I understood this.
So going in, you had sympathy for your captors.
I wouldn't say I had sympathy, but I...
Even as they're mistreating you, as you say.
Even as they were mistreating us, even as I had asked him specifically if they had any kind of internet access, he laughed. One of them was a man who called himself Rashid, and he laughed and he said, no, we've got dial-up, and he laughed at me. He knew that there was no way I was going to be able to get online, no way I was going to be able to file my reports. For 2.5 to 3 weeks, absolutely no cigarettes, or actually there were no cigars, there were cigarettes, they were Iraqi cigarettes, which you wouldn't give to a homeless guy who, you know, wants to bum a cigarette from you, you know, no cigars. And of course, this is a humiliation, and what it is it beats you down, it wears you down.
And all the while, though, you say you are mindful that you don't want to suffer from the Stockholm Syndrome.
That's correct, yes.
And you don't want to become overly sympathetic to their views, but you are becoming increasingly distressed and despondent, aren't you?
The word despondent, Phil, is an excellent word. At no time were we allowed to take any kind of a shower. They filled a tub. Jim had one, had a tub, I had one. At no time were we allowed to take a shower. As I said, lights out at 10 o'clock, and Jim was bathing one night when the lights went out, and he got a little frightened because we didn't know where we were, you know, it being as dark as it was.
All right, we're talking with Mark Tolan, who is a correspondent, a news correspondent in Iraq, who was taken hostage by Al-Ansar Islam back in early December and has just been released about a week and a half ago. And he's talking to us from New York about the his treatment at the hands of these Iraqis. Mr. Tolan, by the way, makes no bones about the fact that he did go to Iraq to, what he says, expose the Bush administration's illegal war. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And as we talk to him, and we'll be getting back to him in a couple of minutes, he's talking about an experience where they were blindfolded. They were led to this compound. At no time were they allowed cigarettes. At no time were they allowed to take showers. They were forced to walk a mile each way to go to the market when he said they needed magazines or fruit or anything like that. And the other thing is that they fed them some kind of an Iraqi beer that was, he said, quote, Heath said it tasted putrid. They had no internet service. It was all dial-up. And so as a reporter, this is something that it's almost like having your hands cut off, from what I understand. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On the line here is Mark Tolan with the McGraw Press Services. Mr. Tolan was held captive by terrorists in Iraq for upwards of three or four months. It was January, February. How long was it, Mark?
Well, Phil, I think it was roughly 11 weeks when we got out. I will tell you that I lost track of time, though, because in Iraq, as I mentioned, the homes, the houses, the residential compounds all have walls, and you are not, you can't really judge the position of the sun in the sky because of the shadowing is so unusual. We're not used to it in this country, and because there are so many of these, especially within the confines of the city, these walled residential areas, you cannot judge the time of day very clearly because of the walls.
Now, you said that George Bush's war in Iraq is an illegal war. It's an atrocity of a war, and you were taken captive by these. I got to ask you this question. You didn't go over there looking to become a hostage, did you?
No, Phil, I went over there looking to file a report, to file a story. And what I got was a hostage taking. I was humiliated, along with Jim, for 4 months. While we were reading, or if we were sitting or talking, the Iraqis would walk by and they would sing Yankee Doodle and these kind of things. We were told that we had to talk about George Bush and things like this. They said they wanted us to release the political prisoners. And it was hell.
Specifically, what was hell? You mentioned you had to walk to the market.
Well, we had to walk to the market to get if I wanted to pick up some flank steak or something. We had to walk all the way down there. And the other thing that I think the American people need to know is, while I was in Iraq, at no time did I ever see any woman who had the veil off her face. Bush likes to talk about how he freed all the women. Well, I didn't see any that were free. They all had the veil on their face. And the ones that did take the veil off their face, you found yourself wishing they'd keep it on, you know. That's how it was. And for 3 months, you get to miss your wife, and you get to miss your loved ones, and you do miss the intimacy and the contact. And I think a lot of people recognize that when a man is by himself, especially when you're being held hostage by terrorists, you are left with nothing but your fantasies. You're left with nothing but what's in your mind. And certainly there's nothing to look at over there that's worth fantasizing about. When you talk about the equality of the women, there's just nothing to conjure when you are... when you've got enough privacy to take care of that kind of thing, you just cannot conjure up the thought of anything decent looking. I talked to Jim about that. He said the same thing. He was walked in on when he was toweling off by two of the armed guards. He had not yet put his pants on, hadn't put his underwear on. He had to pull the towel up in front of himself, and these two guys walked in.
He was naked after he got out of the tub?
Yes. But they did not respect any privacy, so that when he got out and he was putting the cap, I guess, on a bottle of bath oil, and these two Iraqi guards came in on him while he had no clothes on, and he had to pull this small towel that they give you. It's not even a bath towel. It was more like a hand towel. And so this compounds itself, and after a while...
All right, I'm going to take a phone call. I want to ask you another question here. 1-800-449-8686 with Mark Tolan, who was taken hostage by Iraqi terrorists. Steve, go ahead.
Mr. Henry, I find the comments of your guest quite interesting. I'm sorry that he was not able to get cigars, only cigarettes.
You need to understand that when you...
No, sir, I understand that there are men that spent weeks bent over in a bamboo cage tied, and they were lucky to get water thrown into their face, much less getting a shower every 2 or 3 weeks.
What is that?
I'm sorry that you had this experience, but...
What are you talking about?
Sir?
What are you talking about, men bent over in bamboo?
I'm talking about prisoners of war. Isn't that what you were?
No, sir. I was a hostage of a terrorist organization. I was a member of the news media.
Well, I mean,
you were in a combat environment, and you were taken prisoner.
You chose
to go into that combat environment because of your work.
Are you familiar with the... Well, but you are belittling...
No, sir, I'm not taking anything away from your experience.
They took us into town in a van for the first 3 days, and then the van broke down, and they told us we had to walk.
And you had to walk a whole mile. I'm sorry.
See, you might think that you're fooling me, but I know you're being sarcastic.
Yes, sir, maybe just a little bit.
Well, I don't know what you mean about men bent over in bamboo, and I would ask Mr. Henry...
I understand you're a journalist. Is that correct?
In Vietnam, is that what you're talking about, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Vietnam.
And I mean that was just one example. There are a number of examples.
I wish you would be clear.
Discuss.
I wish you'd be clear, because it sounded to me like you were talking about a film you'd seen or something that you'd seen at a bachelor party.
No, sir.
All right. Okay.
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
Basic training rolls right off my knife.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mark Tolan, a newspaper writer, a news correspondent with the McGraw News Service out of New York, is on the line with us. He was in a hostage of Iraqi terrorists in Baghdad. And you're pretty sure you were in Baghdad?
I wouldn't know, Phil. I don't know, because...
Oh, you said you traveled about 40 minutes outside of the city?
Whether we were inside the city or outside the city, I had no way of telling, because we had traveled about 40 minutes, but you don't know whether they're traveling in a circle.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
Or whether they're traveling in a straight line or what have you. I do know that when we were eventually released, we again were placed into a, this time we were put in the back of a van, and the trip to our main legation office, U.S. military legation office, where we were eventually met by American service personnel, was in the center of Baghdad. And so I feel that we were probably not too far from the center of Baghdad.
All right, we'll take some calls. The torture that you feel that you were put through, and I'm not trying to denigrate your experience, you have mentioned some things here. You weren't allowed to bathe. You weren't allowed to shower.
No, we were allowed to bathe. We were not allowed to shower, right? And we were not allowed cigars. Look, Phil, everyone has their own idea of what they can take. And everyone has their breaking point. But to be humiliated the way they did us, one of the things I wanted to mention, they had blow dryers in both of our, in Jim's room and in my room. They only blew cold air. Now, that may not sound like a great deprivation to a lot of people. I happen to have a very thick head of hair and a very long thick head of hair. I've had since I was very young. I still maintain the old hippie look, you know. And Jim does too. And so you're walking around with wet hair.
And all right, let me get it back to Steve because he's been hanging on. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, and we're back here with Mark Tolan. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Mr. Tolan, if I might start by saying I'm not taking anything away from your experience. I admire the fact that for your reasons you chose to go to Iraq and into Baghdad and into that environment. I'm sure there are many people that are listening to this show tonight that would wonder what that experience would be like.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Denise. Denise, go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Is your guest, like, totally ignorant of the dangers of war and putting himself in that environment voluntarily?
Ignorant of what?
Ignorant of the realities of war.
This is Mark Tolan. Are you directing your question to me?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right.
For not making that clear.
All right. Okay.
Yes, I'm very.
Do you have your radio turned? Hey, Denise, do you have your radio turned up?
No, I have no radio on.
Can you hear us? Because
yes,
can you hear me, Mr. Tolan?
I can hear you. I can't hear the lady.
All right,
yes,
both of you guys need to speak up then.
Okay. Hello. Can you hear me now?
And who am I speaking with?
Denise.
Could you spell that for me, please? I'm sorry.
Denise.
All right. And you wanted to talk on the show about what?
About the apparent ignorance.
Will you stop screwing around and just talk to the lady?
I'm sorry. I apologize, Denise. I have been I've been away from my family and my friends. I've been away from my country for 4 months, and I haven't laughed. I literally have not had a laugh since December, and I hope you'll forgive me for being a little stupid.
But, no, I'm not calling you stupid at all.
No, I mean being silly.
And I'd like to know, if going as an experienced news reporter, going into a situation like that
right. With
colleagues, do you not have any type of emergency plan, some GPS tracking system that you could wear should you be abducted?
Well, Denise, let me enlighten you to the realities of journalism, especially in a combat area. You do not have anything other than your instinct as a reporter to get the story, and sometimes it leads you into some dangerous areas. I'm fully mindful of the fact that George Bush would just as soon see reporters die or have their heads severed as help them. But to go through what we went through, we were given 20-minute exercise time in the morning, another 20-minute exercise time in mid-afternoon, two more 20-minute exercise times. But they gave
That's
us...
That's great. You should have a good heart rate now.
Well, if you want to, you want to make fun of people that are taken captive.
No,
go,
not
you
at
go
all.
Right
I just like
you
to know why you did not have an emergency plan in place.
Ma'am,
should
sometimes
something happen.
Sometimes things happen in life where there just isn't a plan. Okay, sometimes stuff happens.
Well,
yeah,
if
I guess
your
maybe
colleague
that
was
what?
Released.
What?
Elaine was released.
Elaine was released, yeah.
Right. So if you guys had some type of a...
Yeah, I heard you the first time. And
a
you're,
plan.
You're starting, first of all, when you say the word plan, there's a... You've got a speech impediment. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. But you've got a speech impediment.
All right.
Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. And you still... You're not hanging up?
Why should she hang up?
No, I'm not insulted at all.
I just pointed out that she sounds weird. Why is she still
That's
talking
okay.
on the radio? Yeah, but why are you still on the radio?
I'll let her be on the radio as long as she wants to be. I don't hear a speech impediment. Anyway, Denise, is that it? Anything else?
No, I just...
No, Phil, she wants to know why we didn't have a plan. And the reason why...
Well, you put yourself in a situation, if you survive the experience and got...
The experience?
The information you wanted, you try to come home and be a hero, but since you've got... kidnapped, you're trying to gain sympathy for
Ma'am,
yourself.
They gave us a soccer ball to play with, not a basketball.
A soccer ball?
A half-inflated soccer ball.
Oh, I am so sorry. I'm really sorry.
You know, you're really
that.
Free with that S-word, aren't you?
You
should watch your language.
Be a
lady.
They gave you a soccer ball.
They gave me a soccer ball, not a soccer bow.
So ignorant. You asked for beer from an Iraqi? Did you forget to ask for the cocktails, too?
Appetizers?
I think what the lady's saying, and I think what a lot of people's instinct is, you're complaining about what exactly?
I was abducted, Mr. Henry, from a street in Baghdad.
No, I understand that. I understand that is wrong. But once you were abducted, what you had a blow dryer that only blew cold air.
We had... What the hell is she doing now? Is she getting gas?
Yeah, that's right, I am. Right
so
in the middle of Baghdad,
Christ,
too.
If you're ignoring me...
Just... What else...
In the main TV room, they had a recliner that had a blown spring. It was a busted spring. The only enjoyment we had was at 5:00 in the afternoon. There are 3 Iraqi channels. One of them gets the Game Show Network from the United States. And I'm sitting.
What's
I'm watching
the game. Me.
I'm watching the Game Show Network, and the spring is. I swear to God, Phil, and I'm not making this up. It is right up my keister. Watching the Game Show Network, suffering with metal up my butt. Would the lady like to comment about that, or is she getting groceries with Mr. Fudd?
No, actually, I didn't.
Is your last name Fudd?
All right, look at your phone's crapping out, Denise. Thanks for calling it.
Why'd you hang up on her?
Because her phone's crapping out, and all you're doing is making fun of her the way she says wabbit or whatever the hell. And
no, she didn't say wabbit. She said experience. And that there, I think... And you know something, Mr. Henry? I'm sitting in a foreign country abducted by Islamic terrorists. George Bush doesn't care, and I'm yelling no whammies with a spring up my keister. And you're trying to tell me that you've got problems?
You finding this funny?
I don't find it. Do I find what funny?
Well, what do you mean no whammies?
For the first time in I don't know how many years, I got to watch a rerun of Press Your Luck. Big deal. Are you going to begrudge me that? And I got a busted spring from a cheap recliner I bought from Larry Miller.
You bought it?
Well, no, they bought it, but the Iraqis bought it. What's the matter?
Well, you know what, pal? I think what you need to do...
Oh, come on. You don't believe me?
No. What else went wrong? You didn't have any... What did they serve you for lunch? Garlic soup with a crappy pasta?
Well, there were no salads, just that 3-bean crap. Man, you could take that and park it. Anyway, I'm very happy to be home, and my wife, of course, is very happy to have me home. But I will tell you now that as I watched that show, sitting there in the suburbs of Iraq, with a spring up my
keister, yeah, I know.
And the pool was 4 feet at the deepest. It was a play pool. It wasn't really...
All right, thanks a lot.
By the way, Phil, I just want to say, I like Cowitz, and the Iraqis didn't give me none, so...
Yeah, you and...
Me and Denise both.
All right. 1-800... The Iraqis. The Iraqis didn't give me none carrots. I like Cowitz. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, get out of here, man. I don't believe you were in Iraq, and I don't believe you're a hostage. And if you were a hostage, having to walk a mile to the store and only having a hairdryer that blows cold air and all that other stuff. And what do you mean they walked in on your friend while he was naked?
My friend was changing his pants, and he was bent over, picking up a nickel, and someone walked in. And he turned around, and he was very embarrassed, and...
No, man, I don't believe you were a hostage, and if you were, that's not mistreatment.
So Nicholas Burke got his head sawed off for nothing, is that it?
Don't you dare compare yourself to him, you turd. Were you ever in Iraq? Or were you... maybe it sounds like maybe you were just spending a weekend in Spain or something, or maybe you were in somebody's condo in Laguna Beach.
Well, it's true, there were a lot of tans. I don't know. I don't know whether it was Laguna or Iraq, but it was hell.
Get out of here. Laguna Beach. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Hendry Show. Coming up on the 27th of May will be the first ever Phil Hendry Show Celebrity Poker Tournament. Now, we're going to have a poker tournament. We've been thinking about doing a poker tournament for a number of years. I wanted to do a pool tournament. I thought, well, pool takes actual skill. I thought, well, poker takes skill, too, but it's something that people can play without straining themselves. Not having to have any real physical dexterity or any ability to physically manipulate something. If you can think and you can see, you can play poker. Well, maybe you don't even have to see. Hey, do you suppose they have Braille poker cards for blind guys?
I got you.
Is that what they mean by a blind bluff? Woo!
Jesus.
Anyway, so on the 27th, we're going to be having our first ever poker tournament. And this is going to be in association with the people at the Bicycle Club in Bell Gardens. Now, you guys that live outside of town, if you're in the Los Angeles area and you want to join us on the 27th of May for our first ever Phil Hendry Celebrity Poker Tournament, you are more than welcome to do so. On Monday and Tuesday of next week, I'll begin announcing where it is you can go to sign up. But let me just tell you, we're going to have around a $25,000 cash prize. Now, it's going to be a $200 buy-in, $200 to get into this thing. And it'll be done at the Bicycle Club in Bell Gardens. Pretty nice place. Club's really cool. They've got, a couple of cold ones you can pop back. People there are going to make things really, nice and relaxing for everybody. It's going to be a Texas Hold'em tournament with that big blind, little blind bullcrap. So if you're coming in, you want to play five stud, forget it. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have to play the way the celebrities do on Bravo. Okay, none of that seven-card stud stuff. The days are fast approaching that when you whip a deck of cards out and you say, let's play seven stud, they don't even know what the hell it is you're talking about. Honest to God, they don't. Who was I playing cards with the other? Oh, I know who it was. I was playing cards on the set over there at Teachers when we were shooting the last episode or something, I forget what, but I had a deck of cards, so I start throwing some cards. Said, you guys want to play poker? I go, yeah. I said, all right, five-card stud. And Dion Richmond, who is a talented and wonderful guy, he didn't know what I was talking about.
Isn't he black?
What?
Isn't he black?
What has that got to do with it?
Well, maybe you didn't know on account of that.
It's got nothing to do with him being black, you idiot. It means he plays that Texas Hold'em stuff. Get out of here.
You never want to tell the truth to nobody.
Yeah, that's it, bud. He didn't know how to play five stud because he's black. I guess he's dumb, huh? He don't know what four up and one down is.
2 feet up and 2 feet down. 2 big out.
Anyway, so the 27th on a Saturday night, man, we're going to have the poker tournament, and we're also going to have a little something maybe 2 weeks before, which is going to be an internet game that I'll play with 8 listeners, and you got to bid to get in on this game. That means I'm going to have 8 of my listeners with me, and we will bid, we'll take bids, and the highest 8 bids, you'll get to sit in on this game down at the Bicycle Club. We'll be tossing some cards, throwing a few back. Your chips will begin to dwindle down to a very small stack as mine rise exponentially. And it's just going to be a wonderful time. I'm joking. I don't know. You'll probably kick my ass. Who cares? Let's go down there and play a little bit of poker. And again, all of this benefits our guys over at my friend's place who continue to do that outstanding work. Just really mind-blowing work at my friend's place in Hollywood. So the main poker tournament that I want to tell you about will be the 27th at the Bicycle Club in Bell Gardens here in the Los Angeles area. I hope that if you're in the area at the time, you want to join us for that. That'd be awesome. Hey, I'm looking at Saddam on TV now, and he's not screaming. He's just got his glasses on. He looks like Sheriff John. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time for a call. Vernon, go ahead.
Phil, I'm grateful to be on your program tonight. Thank you for taking my call. I heard you...
We don't have a lot of time, sir. Please hurry up.
I said I heard you talking about your poker tournament at the Bicycle Club. I went online. I looked it up. I don't know why or you, why you'd mislead your listeners, that's all.
What do you mean, mislead my listeners, sir? I got 40 seconds. What are you talking about? This is for charity.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of five men in the tightest shorts possible. I tell people about your show. I love your show. And
are you looking at a picture of a real bicycle club?
Yeah, isn't that what it...
No, this is a place called the Bicycle. It's a casino, you jackball.
There's a guy with a chamois crotch in his shorts, and it's...
That's fine. Look up the real one, man. It's called... It's a casino in Bell Gardens, you fruit. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.